He's good. So very good. If you got your Bible there this morning, you're going to want to turn to the book of Matthew this morning. And my message today is stepping into the new year. Stepping into the new year. And it was interesting that Sister Teresa brought up Peter walking on the water, because that's where I'm going to start this morning. The question is that we need to ask ourselves this morning is, how does one properly step into the new year? How do you do that? We got a brand new year stretched out before us, and how are we going to step into that new year? You know, the new year is a lot like us when we come to faith and salvation, right? Slate has been wiped clean. And now everything is new. We've got no mistakes, no faults, no failings. We just got a brand new year stretched out before us. How do we step into that brand new year? And that's how we need to approach it. Look, we've got a brand new year that we have before us of God's future and His plan that's stretched out before us. So how do I step? Let's read in the book of Matthew, starting with verse 22. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away." We got to see this, that Jesus constrains them. It's like He's saying, you've got to get into the ship and you've got to go to the other side. "And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary." How many know that even in the direction that Jesus sent you, even constrained you to go, that there's going to be opposition? Amen. That God's going to say, many times we come up against opposition, and the first thing we ask ourselves is, maybe I've headed in the wrong direction. Maybe I'm not going the direction that God wants us to because I'm hitting opposition. But it may be the very fact that you're headed in the right direction that you're facing opposition. This was the case with his disciples. He constrained them and said to them, get into the boat and go to the other side. And they came up against some waves. Amen. "But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went up unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Oh, saints, sometimes what we think is, you know, the storms of life, and maybe that God's not in it and what's happening, many times we'll come to realize the things that are causing fear and maybe some doubt and some questioning as what's going on in our life could be, really be Christ coming our way. Coming our way. "And the Bible said they thought it was a spirit. They cried out for fear. But He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Lord, we thank You so much for Your word this morning. God, that You'll just guide me by Your Spirit. Give us ears to hear what Your Spirit would say unto Your church. Help us to receive the word of God and respond to it, Father, that we might receive the blessings that You have for us, Lord. Just guide me that I might say what You have to say to Your church, and that we might receive it by faith, Lord God, that Your work might be done in our lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, and everybody said, amen. How does one properly step into the new year? Well, this is the answer. One responds to the Word. One responds to the Word. The very nature of the Word of God demands a response. It's a call. There's no other way for Peter really to respond to what Jesus said but simply step out of the boat, because Jesus said simply, come. Come. The very nature of the word demands a response. I thought about this when I thought about, there's several guys that came to my mind. Remember Elisha? We've talked about this, how when Elijah came by, the other prophet came by and threw his mantle on top of Elisha. That somehow he never spoke a word, he never said anything, but by the very fact that the mantle had laid upon him, he felt like he needed to respond. Elijah goes by, he throws the mantle and keeps on going, and Elisha, he's plowing on the farm. He's got 12 yoke of oxen going before him, and he's working, but he stops his work right then and there. He stops everything he's doing, and he runs after the prophet. He says, wait a minute, let me go back, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I'll follow you. And Elijah says to him, what have I done to you? Go back where you came from. But there was something, there was a nature, it was the Word of God by the Holy Spirit falling upon Elijah that he knew, he felt inside of him, I've got to respond to the Word of God. The Word of God is a call. How are you and me responding to the Word of God? Another thought came to me about Samuel. Remember little Samuel in the temple? He was there laying one night and he heard a voice calling out to him, Samuel, Samuel. The little guy jumps up from his bed, runs into Eli, who was the high priest of the day, and he says, you called for me? He said, I didn't call you, Samuel. Go back and lay down. You know, you woke me out of a sound sleep. I was really having a good dream. Go back where you were. And the word of the Lord comes to him again, Samuel, Samuel. He feels the need to jump up and to run. Oh, there's a still small voice down inside of you. The word of the living God that's calling you, hallelujah, and calling me to respond to the word of the living God. In fact, I thought about this. I thought about even men of this world feel the call of God's word and feel the need to respond. Remember when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and the wise men came from the east? They came to find this Jesus and worship him because he was the King of kings and Lord of lords, even as a little baby. And when they ended up in the palace of Herod, the Bible said that Jerusalem was troubled, and Herod was troubled, and the scribes were all troubled. What were they troubled about? Because here was this king that was born. There was something inside of them that said, we've got to respond to this little baby in the manger. The Word made flesh, the King of kings, this still small voice. They were like, Herod felt like, I've got to go snuff him out. I've got to eliminate him because he's going to come and try to take my throne. Jesus didn't. He was just a little baby, but somehow he knew that this Jesus wanted the throne of his heart. Men of this world who deny that there's a God, that say it's all about evolution, it's because they hear that voice crying out that says to them, you must respond. Hallelujah. What are you going to do with Jesus? And so their response is, I don't believe there is a God. I'm going to explain it all away, because if I believe there's a God, I'm going to have to be accountable to Him. I'm going to have to live according to His Word and do what He's calling me to do. And so their response is to push it all away and deny that it even exists. But the still small voice is still crying out. The Word of God is saying, come. Hallelujah. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a call going out throughout the hillside, throughout this world. A call by God through His wonderful Son, by the power of His Holy Spirit, calling into you and into me. Jesus said to Peter, come. What's the right response? Is simply to respond to the Word of God. To step out of the boat and make a step toward Jesus Christ. Are you responding to the Word of God? The Bible tells us in Psalm 42:7, it says, deep calleth unto deep, at the noise of thy waterspouts. It's a very mysterious, we'll get back to this in a little while, but it's a very mysterious statement by the psalmist here. He says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. And many believe, and I believe this to be true, he's talking about deep being God, the deep and overwhelming presence of God, the deep of Him that is unknowable and unseeable. Amen. The Spirit that created all there is. His deep calls unto my deep. Deep inside of me, deep within my soul, there's a spirit, there's a longing to be reunited to my Creator. Hallelujah. And so His deep calls unto my deep. Deep calleth unto deep. And that call, as we've been talking about that little bobber, that call is ever upward in our life. Every calling us to rise and, right, don't live at the level of the beast. Don't live like this whole world lives. Don't follow the trends of this world. But calling us out to live and be like Christ, this ever calling of the Word of God, calling out to you, said, don't go along with the crowd. Don't be like everyone else. Be different. Be like Christ. Hallelujah. Let the call of the Word of God call you and me by His Holy Spirit up and respond. We don't all have to be in the same boat. Hello out there. They were all in the same boat, but there was one that heard the Word of God and stepped out. Amen. In many families, there's one that decides, I'm going to step out of the boat. And I'm going to follow Jesus. And because of that one step, Sister Teresa, others follow. One's bold enough to respond to the Word of God. I remember at youth camp, I just determined that Sister Patsy, I was going to sit back. I wasn't going to go to youth camp. For 2 years, I decided I'll go to youth camp if somebody else goes to youth camp. Guess what? Nobody decided to go to the youth camp. Finally, when my last year of eligibility came, I finally said, well, I'm going to go if nobody else goes. And you know what? The whole youth group decided to go to youth camp. When somebody's bold enough to step, then I got to youth camp. And Brother Tom, I said to myself, you know, I'm not going to go. I was one that always would go to the altar in prayer, no matter what. You know, whenever the preacher gave the altar call, I was always the one down there praying, whatever I could do, you know, to get closer to the Lord. And I said to myself, when I get to youth camp, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to wait. If somebody else will go, I'll go after them. Guess what? I'm sitting there that first night and nobody's going. Nobody's going. It's silent. The preacher's calling. And then I finally stepped out. I'll tell you what, Sister Lori, as soon as I put that foot out there in the aisle, I looked around and here comes a lot of other people, these other young people, all to be willing to step out to the Word of God, to respond to what God is saying. Oh, what a difference it makes if you and I are willing to respond to the Word of God. God or someone else may be waiting for you to respond in faith to God's holy, wonderful Word. Revelation 22 and 17 says this, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The message of our Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, the message of the Bride and the Spirit is all the same. He's calling you and I to step out of where we are, respond to the Word of God, and come unto Him. Hallelujah. Just step out, just like Peter did, out on the wonderful water and believe God and His Word. Now, something really funny happened to me this week. You know, I get up several times through the night. It gets really dry. I get thirsty, and I will get up, and I'll use the restroom, and then I'll give myself some water, drink a cup of water. And I got up, and I was just parched, and I went out, poured myself a glass of water, and then I went back in bed, and I laid down. And then I laid there for a minute and then I said, oh man, I poured that glass of water and I never drank it. And my wife said, that's really funny. You went out there and you poured the glass of water, but never. And I thought to myself, as I went back and drank the water, you know, that's 60. You get to 60 and then you start forgetting stuff. You know, you go into a room and you stand in there and you say, what did I come in here for? And you got to go back before you realize it was your watch or your keys. But how many times has the water been poured? It's there in the glass. It's right there for us to drink it, but we don't do it. We move on with our life. How many times, and I want us to hear this morning, how many times does the Word of God go forth to us, maybe on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or some other time when we know God is speaking, and yet we hear the Word of God, but it's still there in the glass. We haven't drunk of it. We haven't meditated on it. We haven't applied it to our life. We haven't responded to the Word of God. It's not made a difference in us because we haven't stepped out by faith to apply it to our life. We've got to be careful. I was reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul, where he said in the last days that men would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, that they would turn away their ears from the truth, and that they'd be turned unto fables. And I've thought about that and I've prayed about that to really grasp a hold of what the apostle is really talking about here. What's he wanting us to really grasp a hold of? What is it going to be like in the last days? And I think one of the things he wants us to understand or grasp a hold of is that many people are looking for teachers to fill their minds with some new thing. We've got to be careful that we're not just looking for somebody to say something that we've never heard before. Right? Pull something out of here and say, boy, I've never heard that before. So that we can have ourselves, you know, or just fill us with more information. Now, I'm not dumbing it down or saying that we need teaching. We need more understanding in the Word of God. But sometimes we're wanting the preacher to say something new. And that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to respond to what we already know. Hallelujah. To walk in the light that's already shined before us. Hallelujah. He said to Peter, come. And he wasn't going to say anything more until Peter stepped out on the water. He was looking for response. He was looking for Peter to do what he's calling him. Many times we're looking for more light when Jesus is saying, you're not even walking in the light that I've already shined upon your pathway. You're not even stepping on the word that I've already put out there, but you're wanting more. Filled, I thought to myself, filled with information, filled with head knowledge. Knowing all there is to know about the Bible, but not really the heart knowledge. Preaching is, and I think this is something that he's getting at as well. Preaching is a call to a response. Right? You preach so that people respond to the Word of God. We need to respond to God's holy word. Amen. We need to step out and believe and trust what God is saying. We don't want to leave the same way we came. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spots. You know, I can be a judge. I can say, well, I give that a 10. That was a 10. That was a good message there. I want to give that a 10, or I want to give it a 9.5. Hello, that was a good one. Or do I say, boy, how do I respond to what I've just heard? How do I step out? Or how do I apply? Or how do I put in practice what the Word of God has said to me? How do I make the kind of choices and the changes in my life I need to make so that the Word of God is alive inside of me? Deep calleth unto deep. The Word of God is calling out to you and me. He's calling out for us to respond to the Word of God, just like he was calling out to Peter to respond to the Word. Just like Elijah or Elisha or Samuel were called to respond. Now, I want to go back to Psalm 42 And I want to read this again because there's something here I think we need to see, that many times God is speaking into our lives, and many times we don't know what He's saying, but He's speaking. Psalm 42, verse 5, it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." The psalmist here is in a difficult situation where he feels discouraged. Amen. In fact, he's so discouraged that he's speaking to his own soul, saying, "Oh, my soul, why art thou disquieted in me?" Maybe he's saying, Brother Tom, that maybe the circumstances are not where he should be discouraged, but he feels within him that he's discouraged. "Oh, my soul, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? Oh, God's been so good to you, and there's been so many things happen. Why do you feel discouraged?" And then he says, verse 7, "Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows have gone over me." He's talking to God now, and he's saying, "God, these waves that are flowing over me, your waves and your waterspouts are flowing over top of me." You ever feel like you're being flipped upside down and you're wondering what God's doing in your life? One thing after another just comes in and you're saying, "God, what is it that you're doing?" He said, "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me." Amen. Even though His loving kindness is still with you in the daytime, and in the night His song is with you. He said, "Yet I will pray, my prayer will be unto the God of my life." And so what I want us to see here is that even when we're going through difficult times, even when we feel like God's water is flowing over us and we're going through difficult times, yet inside of our hearts, there's this constant call. "I don't understand. I don't know what's going on, but I know God's at work." You ever been there? Even though I feel like I'm flipping out of control and it seems like I'm going in a downward spiral, somehow I just know that at the end of all this, I'm going to pop to the surface. Hallelujah, because His still small voice is speaking. In fact, in Psalm 69, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. My eyes fail while I wait for my God." Hallelujah. Oh, I want us to see that even in difficult times, even when we don't know what's going on, even when storms are hitting our lives, yet God is at work. Hallelujah. That deep is indeed calling unto deep. Hallelujah. That He is at work within our lives. Psalm 88 and 6 and 7 says, "Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah." Oh, we're not different than other people in the Bible at times that say, "It seems like God is against me. It seems like everything where I turn, it doesn't seem to be going my way. Why are these things happening to me?" What we need to see is right there in the Word of God, God's spelling it out to us, that the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God is speaking to us even at those times. And what we've got to say is, "God, what are you saying? Hallelujah. What is it that you're doing in my life, even in the midst of what are you trying to accomplish in me? Because God, I know something is going on, but I know He's saying, 'God, you're doing it. I know that this is all about what you're doing in my life, and I simply want to respond to your holy word.'" Whew. Isn't that wonderful? You remember Jonah and Jonah chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. You know the story of Jonah. He wanted to go the opposite direction of what God wanted him to go. Hello. God said, "I want you to go to preach to Nineveh." He said, "No, I'm not going there. I know if I go preach to those sinner people, you'll be merciful if they repent. So I'm going the opposite direction." But God said, no, you're not. I'm going to work in your life. I'm going to send a storm, a wind. I'm going to send a whale. I'm going to send all kinds of difficulty until you finally come to me. Oh, praise God. God is at work to bring us where He wants us to be. Can we hear His voice and can we respond accordingly? Listen to what Jonah said as he was in the belly of the whale. He said, for thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods can pass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look towards thy holy temple. Oh, what I see here is in all this turmoil and all these things that are coming into Jonah's life, yet he heard God's word calling out to him. And he said, I will look to your temple. God, I know you're in the midst of all that. And how many know it's not always, you know, there's times when God says go this way and we choose to go the other way. Hello. Because we don't like what He's calling us to do. And that was Jonah. But how many know that sometimes we choose to do what God wants us to do, and yet things are not going to go our way? Remember Joseph. He was a guy that just, man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do in my life. He had those dreams. But how many know that as he began to believe what God is telling him, that his life didn't go up, it started going down. He went to see about his brothers and they took a hold of him, said, you, we don't like you because the Father loves you the best. And so they tore his coat of many colors off of him and threw him in a pit. And then after they threw him into a pit, the Bible said, then they sold him into slavery, down into a pit, down into Egypt land, down into slavery. He's down there working. God is blessing him. Things are looking good. And the next thing you know, guess what? His wife, Potiphar's wife, gets taken a look at Joseph and says, boy, you're a handsome guy. Let's have us an affair. He said, no, I can't do it. And so she lies on him and causes him to be thrown into a prison. So down into a pit, down into Egypt, down into slavery, down into a prison cell. Oh, how could God's hand be upon me? But still, he could hear God's still small voice. He could interpret dreams. Oh, friend, how we need to just hear that word in God, even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst where we don't understand what's all going on, God is speaking. And what did God do? He raised him up to feed all Egypt. What was God doing? God was creating a leader. God was creating a man that could be faithful in the midst of turmoil. A man that even when things weren't going his way, he was faithful to God. Teaching him how to lead. Not only in Potiphar's house, but also in the dungeon. Praise God. And that could be faithful when he calls him to reign over all of Egypt. You don't know and I don't know what God's doing, but God is doing something. Oh, just respond to His word. Trust His word. Step out upon His holy word. He will see you through. Don't lose your confidence in God's word. Oh, hallelujah. I was thinking about Moses. Remember Moses? When he went out and he tried to tell that these two Israelites, look, your brethren, don't be fighting with one another. He had killed the Egyptian the day before and buried him in the sand because he felt like God's called me to be the deliverer. He felt a call. You hear that? A calling deep inside of him that said, I believe God's calling me to be their deliverer. And he causes him to kill this Egyptian and bury him in the sand. The next day, he sees two of the Israelites fighting together and he tries to, you know, separate them and say, you're not doing the right thing. And they said, well, are you some kind of a lord or ruler over us? Who made you that ruler over us? Said, are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses said, uh-oh, this is not going to work out very good. And so he flees flees into the wilderness. And God takes Moses through a wilderness. He was 40 at the prime of his strength. But now, at the end, he's now 80 years old. Somewhere along the line, I don't know, maybe he stuttered all along, but it seems like to me he went through some things out in the wilderness, getting old, and he starts stuttering, and he's losing his strength. And God then comes to him and says, Moses, I wanted you to send you down and be a deliverer. He's probably saying, all your waves and all your billows have gone over me. I'm not the same guy that I once was. Lord, I can't even talk. Why don't you choose somebody else? I'm out here doing women's work. We don't know what God is doing. I'm just saying, just hold on to the Word of God. God is working in your life. God is making you what you need to be. He's taking you. Oh, you know that as a church here, don't you? You know that you've been through some difficulties, some circumstances. But in the midst of all of that, He's building something into your life. Don't be just looking for that miracle now, but understand there's a miracle as He's working you through the processes of making us into the church that He wants us to be. Oh, what a powerful thing. When God meets with Moses at the burning bush and He says, I'm choosing you to go down into Egypt and tell them, let my people go. And He says, I want you to tell them to come out of that land of Egypt because I'm going to meet with you on Mount Sinai. I'm coming, calling you out to a mountain, and you're going to be the one that's going to lead them to the mountain, to lead them to the mountain of strength, holiness, purity, a new life in me. Oh, praise God. That still small voice that's speaking into your life, that even as you go through difficulty, sometimes we don't hear it. We don't know what He's saying to us. But I was feeling that this morning as I was praying. I just kept on feeling God's call. You feel that call. Keep on walking. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting. Keep on looking to Jesus Christ. The response that comes in our life, you know, the call to Lazarus was, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. That's the call to every one of our lives, is the call of the resurrection of Christ, to respond to His Word and to walk in His will. Now, sometimes we're hearing that call and we don't really know how to respond. And sometimes it's like we're doing it without realizing that we're responding to the still small voice. The first thing that happens, right? We talked about Samuel and we talked about Elisha. The first thing that they did when they heard this voice and they didn't understand it is they went looking to what they believed was their master. Samuel heard the word of God in the night and got up and ran to Eli. It caused him to look to their master. Oh, friend, many times difficulty arises and we're in that deep, but we hear down deep in our lives something's going on and we're looking. It causes us to look up to God like we never have before. Elisha went to Elijah, right? He went back to what he believed to be his future master. And Elijah said, no, go back where you belong. Because what he was trying to show Elisha, he said, look, Elisha, you're being called, but it's not me. There's something happened inside of you, but it's not me doing it. Samuel, go back and lay down. And then finally, Eli, after he came to him three times, he said, now, wait a minute, Samuel. I think I know what's going on. He said, go back and lay down. And when you hear that calling again, he said, just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. He's saying, oh, it's God speaking to you. Oh, God is speaking into your life. God is doing something. God is talking to you. He's calling you. He's calling me up out of our lives. He's calling us into His ministry or calling us into His walk. And we've got to realize, oh, God might use an individual, but He's calling us to respond to His voice, to look to Him. Oh, praise God. To turn our eyes. Oh, that's what happened to the three kings, right? They started out following that star. And then they got to looking at the palace and said, well, we must be where we're supposed to be. And they ended up in the palace asking about the king. Right? And then they found out, these guys at the palace didn't have a clue. So they went back out. And thank God, when they saw the star, the Bible said they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, Tom. They said, okay, this is where we're supposed to be. They lifted their eyes up one more time to the heavens and saw this is where the callings come from. Oh, it's supernatural, saints. When we begin to realize that the call in you and the call in me is God calling you and I from the very deep to your deep to be respond to His call and His will in your life. How exciting it gets. This thing is beyond you and me. This is supernatural. This is something extraordinary. Your life and my life is called to be extraordinary in Jesus Christ. The master that you and I are following is not masters of this world, but the very Lord and Master, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of all creation. Oh, glorious and powerful is that. You know, Paul had the same kind of experience, right? When he saw the Lord on the way to Damascus. And after he saw Jesus above the brightness of the sun, the Bible said he was blinded. And it says his eyes were open, but he saw no man. He sought for somebody to lead him by their hand. He didn't have his eyes on man anymore. His eyes were on the Christ, but he had still be led, didn't he? And I think that's an awesome thing because, you know what? Paul was a powerful personality. How many know that? He was a driven man, even when he was a Jewish leader, even when he was under the law and not under grace. He was a powerful man. He was moving the world against the name of Jesus Christ and persecuting the church and having men put to death. When Christ meets him on the road, he understands, look, this is a guy that will go off and he'll leave the church behind. He'll try to serve me all by himself. He'll try to change the world all by himself. And so he causes him to be dependent upon others. He causes him to keep his eyes upon him. But to understand there's going to have to be somebody, Paul, that's going to get you to where I'm asking you to go. Oh, you can't do it on your own. You're not going to make it on your own. You're not going to get to the street called straight on your own. You've got to have somebody lead you. No matter how strong of a personality you are, no matter how determined you are, you can't make it on your own. God doesn't want you to do it on your own. You're going to have somebody to take you by the hand and lead you where God is calling you to go. But your eyes and my eyes must be upon Jesus Christ. Not upon man, because you get your eyes upon man, they're going to falter, they're going to fail. They're going to not always be all that you would have them to be. And if you get your eyes on man, you're going to fall and you're going to fail. But if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, but you'll let others lead you, we're going to make it home. We're going to make it where He wants. This is the still small voice calling out to you and calling out to me. Let's look to the Master, the commander, the captain. We've got to get back to the place where we acknowledge Him as Lord. As Lord. Remember now, what did Samuel say? Eli, he had gone the wrong way. How many know that? You remember Eli, how he messed up, how he got so off track, how his sons were not serving God anymore. But he told Samuel, you go and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now that's powerful, because there's many people that can tell us how we need to go, but maybe their lives are not exemplary. And yet we can respond to the Word of God and the truth that they have given. And that's what Samuel did. He said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." Oh, praise God. That's a powerful thing. How many know that we've got to once again acknowledge that Jesus is Lord? That His Word is so important that you and I follow the Word of God. Not because of the person that's proclaiming it, but because the Word of God is from Jesus Christ Himself. Hallelujah. Too many people say, "Well, I'm not going to listen to the guy. I'm not going to listen to that individual." But oh, if it's the Word of God, we've got to listen to the Word of God. What did Paul say? "Who art thou, Lord?" Amen. He acknowledged Him as Lord of his life. These little steps, as we hear the still small voice calling out to us, those little steps that we take in response to the Word of God are really monumental in your life and my life. What did He say? He said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." That seems like a very simple thing. And yet, it's an important step in our lives. Go ahead and speak, Lord, because I'll hear you. I'll hear you. I won't turn a deaf ear. I'll hear what you got to say. Whether it's in the midnight hour, Brother Tom, when he wakes you up at night, singing a song over you, or somebody on the roadside that says something to you that just happens to just say something to you, you know it's God speaking to you. Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears. How do I step into a new year? God, just talk to me. Just say something. I'll listen to what you got to say. It doesn't matter, Lord. I'm going to respond to your word. I'm going to step out of the boat and respond to what God is saying to me. Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Another simple step, but a powerful one. God, whatever you say, I want to do. And whatever you want to do in my life, I want it to be unto me according to your word. Whatever it is now, Lord, that you're doing right now in me, maybe I don't like it, maybe I don't really appreciate it, Lord, but be it unto me according to your word. Amen. Take me through the fire. Take me through the flood. Take me through whatever I need to go through. But God, I'm going to hold on to you. I'm going to hold to the hem of your garment. Take me right on through, because I want to be what you are calling to me to be. I'm not going to try to set the agenda. I'm not going to try to say this is not what I want to do. I'm going to simply say, be unto me. Be it unto me according to your word. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul says, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord?" That seemed like a simple step. You hear that calling of the Word of God in the midst of your difficulty. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Who are you, Lord?" Have you ever just asked God, "Who are you really?" Sometimes we think we know who He is. We've got Him all figured out. He's in that little box, you know. This is the way God always works. Isn't that the way we do? In fact, we almost create doctrines because it makes us feel a little bit more comfortable. God always heals. That makes me feel comfortable. Then I can really believe, well, God doesn't always heal. So how do I figure that out? Hello? God always does this for me. God always does that. It doesn't always work out that, because God doesn't always fit into our little box. But Paul, he saw the Lord and he said, "Who are you, Lord? I want to know you. I want to discover who you are. I want to have a relationship with you." As we hear that calling of the Word of God inside of us because we've been saved, because He's called us out of this world, because we know that we're not the same person, because we know there's something going on in our life that we can't explain, we begin to say, God, help me to come to know You better, to have a relationship with You. I want to just embrace all that You are. I want to come to know You. These are little steps that we take in our lives that help us to begin to understand what His purpose and His plan is for our lives. And then He calls us many times to come out of places where we're at and to surrender our complete life to Him, whatever that might be, however that looks. Elisha, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to burn all those bridges behind me, and I'm getting ready to step out on what You would have. It's a challenge, and yet it's the greatest journey that you're ever going to start on. You remember the rich young ruler, and I'm closing. Remember, he comes to the Lord and he falls down before Jesus and he worships Him. And he calls him, good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And the first thing Jesus says to him, he says, why are you calling me good? He said, why are you calling me good? He says, there's only one good, and that's God. You know what he's saying? He's saying, do you think that I'm God? Do you see me as God? That's important. Do you understand who I really am? He's worshiping him, but he's saying, do you understand that I'm God? Because only one's good, and that's God. He said, if you want to have eternal life, he says to him, keep the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, I've kept all the commandments from my youth up. And yet there's calling deep inside of him, Teresa. There's got to be more. I've kept the law. I've been a good Jewish follower. I've kept the law from my youth up. He said, but what lack I yet? What am I missing? Oh, that still small voice was nagging at him. There's something more that's available to me. Jesus says, do you know who I am? Do you know that I'm God? And he says, what lack I yet? He said, go sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Tell him, take up your cross and follow after me. Now he's saying, you've got to deny yourself. You love your riches. You put your confidence in that, the money and all that you have. He said, your confidence is in your belongings. But he said, you've got to leave that behind and you've got to follow me. But he's saying more than that. It's something that we've got to see beyond that, is that he's saying, look, if I'm God, if you see that I'm God, then I've got to be first. I've got to be first above everything else. You can't have your belongings be God. You can't put your trust in your belongings and put your confidence there. He said, you've got to put all of those things aside and make me first. Go sell all that you have and come follow me. What a powerful thing. Love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. He's kept all of the commandments. He's done it all through his life. But now Jesus is saying, recognize me as God and love me first. Love me first. Oh, I believe that's the call in the new year. Is to, for us to step out of the boat and follow Christ and love Him first. Love Him first above all else. See, Jesus is not looking for us just to deny ourselves for the sake of denying ourselves. He's calling us to deny ourselves to make Him first, completely first in our life. Every other thing is a lesser thing. The still small voice is still calling out, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Put Him first and foremost. He'll not steer you astray. He'll not lead you astray. He's calling you and me. The deep is calling unto deep. what's first and foremost in our lives. Who is Lord? And those difficulties, those circumstances that come into our lives, they simply help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our head. What I'd like for us to do this morning is, I was preaching today and saying that, how do we step into the new year? We've got to step out on the Word. We've got to respond to the Word of God, because the Word of God demands a response. And He wants us to step out on the Word, but He wants us to have our eyes upon Jesus. Understanding who He really is. And that He demands our all, our complete love and devotion. And what I'd like for us to do today is, I want us to stand to our feet this morning, and just as we step out from where we're at, we're stepping out upon the Word of God, and we're saying, Lord, I hear Your call into the new year. And as you step out from your pew coming up to this altar this morning, I want you to say, I'm stepping out to the Lord. I'm stepping out, and I'm putting my eyes upon You, Jesus, and I'm trusting You to take me where You want me to go, whatever that means. I want us to all just gather around the altar here today as we step out and put our eyes upon Jesus. Whatever you're going through, everybody has something different that's happening in their life. But as you step out from where you're at and make your way down to this altar, you're saying, God, I'm just stepping out upon Your Word. I'm responding to Your Word. And I'm looking to You, Jesus, into this new year.